Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This conference is now being recorded. break. I sent just a minute ago the link to the agenda. We're not going to do the screen sharing thing, and I'm going to try and talk less. So just to quickly spin through the agenda, first thing up is Glenn doing the roll call.
Michael, do they?
On the call we have Michael Connor, the chair, George Kirikos, a new member to the group, Christian Curtis, Mark Circle, Paul Diaz, Adam Palmer, Greg Aaron, Dave Piscitello, Wendy Seltzer, Mike Rodenbach, Carol Ferrer, Rod Rasmussen, James Bladell, and Rodney Joffe. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster and Marika Koenig. Have we left off anybody? Thanks, Mark.
Looks like we're in good shape. Thanks, Glenn. I'm going to send out the next item, which is the status report. And I'm going to blast through this one really quick because it's all fine. But if there's the link to it if you want to review it. And there's a reason why I'm pushing so fast through all of this kind of housekeeping stuff. It's because when I listened to the call last week, I talked way too much and you talked way too little. So I'm changing that behavior. The next item, which I want to spend just a few minutes on, is the status of a couple of action items from last week. And then I really want to spend most of the conversation today working on the draft of the report, which is down in the screen in the lower right, which you should all be able to scroll independently of each other. Let me know if you can. But before we get to that, I want to talk to the data people and find out sort of how the data gathering stuff is going with the following caveat. It seems to me that what's emerged in, especially in Dave's map of things to do, is the recognition that this data gathering problem is not trivial and that we may have set ourselves too high a target to arrive at definitive data in this working group. But that said, I wanted to sort of hear how things were going from Rod's, Rodney's, Dave's, and Greg's of the world. So go ahead, you guys.
Any particular order?
Oh, I don't know. Arbitrarily, Rod first.
Yes. So this is Rod. I was at Black all week, so I haven't done much data gathering myself. Other than I'm scared as heck to use the internet anymore, but that's what happens at those conferences. Yeah. I do have some positive feedback from the group in Milan, Italy, and they're going to data on what they've got. I don't just ask for communication. I have to get back to them on, you know, tell them again what we're looking for. Willing to do that and actually if it's too late for them to join. Procedural question I had for you there, Mike. The other one that just came up is the HoneyNet project in Australia. They've actually got an online tool and an open source tool for tracking fast fluxdom. I haven't seen the tool yet, but it is. We want to set up our own little fast flux. Say that right. tracking system that we can use ourselves, but there's a way we could do that. So I'm pretty excited about that. Other vendor stuff I have not gotten back from, though I keep hearing that they're going to do that soon. And then we do have information coming from Cambridge, which is supposed to be imminent. Richard Clayton is the researcher there and has a ton of information on this stuff. You know, he's just been trying to collate it so it's not overwhelming and actually makes sense.
That's great. Are you on a cell phone today, Rod?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It was cutting out a bit. Accommodate that. Rodney, how did your project go?
I have some data to send to someone who knows how to munch better than I can. Maybe, Joe, just to do it. But I got a potload of data, and I haven't been able to make too much sense of it, only because there's so much. So,
okay.
I think, is there someone I can send to now who will actually go do the analysis?
Do we have any data mungers? Joe isn't on the call today. He's in.
I guess Dave Piscatello has done some. Would you volunteer, Dave?
Volunteer for what? For munging data?
For munging data.
Really big.
I got my own damn data to munge.
So I need some help from someone who can actually munge this because I have not succeeded.
Well, I guess. Why don't you send it to me?
Okay.
And I will see if I can, I'll see what I can do with it, and if I can't, what format is it in? Is it, can you send it to me in CSV?
I'll see if I can get into CSV. It may just be tabbed at the moment, so that may not be a problem.
That's fine. Tab is fine. I mean, anything that I can import into Excel, I can probably munge, or I can get some.
No. This is way bigger than Excel will let you. This is too many rows for Excel.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have anything that's going to deal with that kind of tool that I wouldn't have to write from scratch in BSD, and I just don't have time to do that right now.
I'm just looking for someone who's better than me, better than I am with Orc and Grep. Dead.
Is Joe around?
No, Joe's not on the call today.
You know what? I'm going to email it to Joe and ask him to do it anyway.
Joe might be able to do that. The other person that might be able to do it is some people from April's Tool.
You know what? If I can't get it from Joe, I will just go pull one of my production guys off of what they're doing and do it during today. So I'm actually going to start it now. I'm going to send it to Joe and also get it to one of my guys. So over the course of the next 12 hours, we'll have the answers from this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I would, but honestly, I am just very with other things, and I'd have to be writing scripts, and I suck at that to begin with, so it takes me a long time.
Dave, no problem. No problem. I'll handle it. Mike, I'll have that for you shortly.
Terrific. Thanks. Any other great... Dave, Greg, any data? I kind of want to push us through this.
Well, I did post some data, and I posted a scatter plot.
Could you repost that with a horizontal axis label? I didn't know what was across the bottom.
It's just the number of the 13,889 posts.
Oh, it's by number.
Just in order to generate the plot, what I had to do was actually try to introduce a random sort into a data set that had two columns. And so the only way to get some sense of randomness was to alphabetize the domain names, because I had a domain name and the number of IP addresses that were used in the attack. So what you're seeing is these large blobs that sort of show concentrations of TTL values. Well, I'm sorry, numbers of changes. So, for example, there's a very, very big distribution of numbers of IPs used over a course of a month in the 600 range and in the 1,000 range and in the 1,500 range. You can't really extrapolate from that anything that has to do with TTL values. So one of the things I've just asked from some other people is if I could get a similar kind of data that sort of shows the TTL values that were assigned to the name servers of the domains that were used in a fast flux attack. And the only reason I'm doing that is not to sort of find a number that we then say is the definitive number, but to sort of actually debunk the myth that there's only one TTL, and if we nail that TTL, we've nailed fast flux.
Got it. Okay. That would be useful to sort of expound upon in conjunction with that chart, because I couldn't figure out what the chart was telling me, except that it seems like low alphabetical values have high high numbers of hops.
That's an interesting conclusion.
Well, it seems like it was high on the left side, low on the right side. Those were the A's. And, well, anyway.
I'll have to go look again and see what, you know, see how that plot came out. You know, if you look at the scatter, there's actually low values and high values. But it does turn out, it actually was very interesting, Mike, is that when I just opened up the Excel spreadsheet, and in fact, it looks like names that begin with numerics, which are first alphabetically, of course, have a fairly high number of, or a fairly interesting distribution of either above 1,000 or under 20.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing.
Very strange.
Yeah.
I suspect that's, you know... Wow, that's a very, very interesting lesson. And all the A's have numbers over 1,000.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted that horizontal axis, because I was trying to figure out what that graph was telling me. Anyway, I don't want to belabor this one either. Any other data news? We're drawing to the close of this one.
Yeah, trying to get this stuff and then munching it is very hard. You know, there's a fair amount of nervousness in sharing this information.
Yeah, well, and I think that's part of the reason I did that little caveat at the top of this item. It seems to me that what we've stumbled on is a job that's perhaps bigger and harder than we thought, and that it needs to go into our list of things to do rather than things that we do, because I don't think we're going to be able to get through it in time. And so,
I think that it would be really valuable to identify, you know, three statistics that we want to get, just arbitrarily picking three, but a small number of statistics we would like to get, and then asking for that as opposed to asking for terabytes of information and trying to come up with some conclusion based on our own analyses.
Yeah.
So I think the two that I think would be valuable and I've been looking at are, how many hosts are used typically, you know, or what is the distribution of numbers of hosts that are used in SAS plus attacks? And that's the one that the scatter plot is supposed to represent. I'll go take a look at that a little bit more carefully. The other one is, what, you know, people make this assumption that short TTLs are an absolute marker of SAS plus, and I don't believe that to be the case. So I'm trying to get some information from some other people that will allow us to at least say, you know, it appears that there are several different loci of, you know, of TTL values that are used, and that the conclusion would be that TTL values alone is not a sufficient indicator, you know, that a network is a SAS plus, you know, SAS plus network.
Right.
So is there if anyone else has specific, single sentence articulated data that they think would be useful in making whatever case we need to make in order to prove the or to justify, you know, doing some work in SAS plus. It would be nice to just post those so we can discuss them and then try to pinpoint a party who would share at least the aggregate result with us.
And I think what I'd like to do is let's push that into an email thread.
That's fine.
That one off, and then, you know, I really liked your scheme of taking the points that I had jumbled up and reposting them at the top of your follow-on email with mine inserted. So let's try and follow that habit. I think one of the habits that we've got to break is these long, complicated, indented threads like we had going. And so maybe what we could do is start building a little list of those one-sentence data that I'd like to collect statements, and just let that build in that post. Does that work for folks? Take that as a yes. So, Dave, if you could kick that one off, that would be
Okay.
Last sort of thing before we get into the meat of the call today, and that is a reminder that today is the day for that first round of constituency input. And I haven't been overwhelmed with email containing those, but it's not the end of the day yet. I have to admit that I have done nothing on summarizing the business constituency input except invite the one person who commented to join the working group. George, it's great to have you in the group today. So I think I'm going to finesse the business constituency one by saying, you know, we don't really have any input outside of the working group at this stage of the game, and carry on from there. But if constituencies have prepared input statements, today's the deadline to get them in. Enough said about that. Okay, now I want to get to basically one of two discussion topics for today's call. And I want to give you a tour of what I'm hoping will happen. In the lower right of the screen in the Adobe Connect gizmo is a copy of the report as it stands on my hard drive at the moment. And hopefully you can all see it well enough to read it. And hopefully you can all scroll down to the section that's called Available Options, which is about three-quarters of the way down the screen. That is a slightly edited version of the post that Dave sent and then followed up on. I did two things. I took out some of the words simply to make it a little bit shorter so that it would be easier to navigate on the screen. And I added a couple. For example, I added one that sort of got George's name on it, at least in my mind, which is the second one, which is document the process and determine intervention choke points. And the question we're trying to answer there is, where is the best place to intervene? And I'm going to clarify that. Is everybody at that spot on the lower right screen so that you can see me typing Fast Flux in here? Anybody who's not, give me a shout. Okay, I'm going to presume that we're all on the same square. Here's the thought I had. It seems to me that this is sort of the heart of our deliverable, and that if we can really hammer on this today and get it right, that we've come very close to writing the first draft of the interim report. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in here which I'm throwing in there as possible topics, but I think that the real key stuff is contained in this section. And what I thought we would do is have two chat windows up above, one where people can propose solutions to issues which are raised in the other one on the right. I'm not sure that this is the right way to do this, you understand. I'm learning this stuff just as we all are, and so I'm real open to suggestions. But again, back to the conversation last week, which was 90% Mike and 10% you, that's not very good. So I'm trying to get 90% you and 10% Mike. One way to do that is to use both our mouths and our fingers to communicate here. And I thought what we could do is, I thought I would just real quickly spin us through the suggested list and then go back and get these fixed. And if we can emerge today pretty close to a fixed set of these, then I think, you know, we've crossed the great divide. So just to start off, I'm not going to read them. That seems silly. But why don't we just start with the notion that this seems to be a list that's in sequence. It seems like the first one, improve the definition, has to get done before the fifth one, establish a preliminary false positive accuracy target. And that what this, in a way, represents is sort of a work plan for a project. It's probably a work plan for us. And I think it's a work plan that we would probably have to follow in a subsequent PEP. I don't think we can do all this stuff in the time that we've got. But if we can agree that these are the right things to do, this seems like a pretty robust recommendation to me. So, there's my preamble. Reactions first to this idea. That we essentially come up with a sequenced list of recommendations. And then maybe draw a line somewhere in this list that says, this is how far we are willing to all, we are all willing to agree in consensus we should go, after which we need to take a checkpoint to see what to do next.
How far do you think down the list we should be going?
I think that at least, you know, I have to take my chair hat off and say that from a personal sort of observation standpoint, I'm pretty comfortable up through maybe even costs of attacks before we take a checkpoint, somewhere in that zone. Seems okay to me. That when we get to about that point, we will be a whole lot smarter about what we're up against, how it can be detected, etc. So there's my editorial thing. Now I'm going to shut up. Sorry. Others?
Sounds good to me.
Do other people identify sort of a different place on the list to stop than that?
What is the requirement of the working group? What does it require theoretically based on the GNFO?
In terms of our charter?
Yeah.
That's a darn good question. Hang on, I'll go look that up.
I was just looking at that, and no, it's a list of specific questions that we are asked to answer by the council.
What if we came back and said that list of questions cannot be answered in a sufficient manner in the time frame we were given? Here's our plan for how to get those questions answered.
That's the best we can do. But at least try to answer some of them, you know, to the extent we can. I mean, I think we've got enough opinion expressed on a lot of this stuff. Start bringing it to consensus. Right, Mike?
Well,
how are you going to start doing that today, actually?
Yeah, I mean, where I'm seeing consensus emerging, and Greg, I'll get to you in a second, is around this list. I'm not seeing consensus emerge around the answers to these questions. And so that's part of the reason I'm so zeroed in on this list right now. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. As far as I can recall, the process for the first draft is supposed to incorporate and smooth out the opinions expressed in the constituency statement. Which are now in, I guess. But I don't see how we could possibly take care of all that in a week, because there isn't consensus on a lot of the points.
Yeah, for example, I'm not even sure that we've got consensus on the definition of fast flux right now, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to arrive at that in a week. Because I think what we're all, certainly I'm discovering, is that this is a much more subtle thing to define than I ever imagined it was going to be. Others?
I think we need to Well, I think we need to, I mean, it'd be really useful to see what the constituency statements say, because there's probably a lot of good information in there to rely on, and then it will also probably crystallize where the opinions differ.
Craig, we're not talking constituency statements for a while. We haven't had any answers.
Okay, input templates then.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, how many of them have come in?
I've got none so far.
Okay, I just sent you the registry statement, template, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we haven't gotten
any? So today is sort of the deadline day, so, you know, people may be treating it as end of day rather than beginning of day, but so far, you know, as of this morning, I haven't gotten any.
All right. Well, I think those will tell us a lot. They'll also provide probably some meat for the our first draft.
Yeah. I think that's right. Okay. But again, I'm not sure we'll be able to arrive at a consensus around any of those.
True.
In a week. Because I'm still gunning for sort of a week from now to have a preliminary first draft out there, 2 weeks from now to have it done. Because if we don't, you know, if we slide that much, we're going to wind up blowing out the end date pretty badly. And that was part of the reason for my despairing note earlier, and part of my enthusiasm for a recommendation that looks like the one that's in front of you here, which is, wait a minute, this is much too big and much too subtle to address in the kind of time frame that we've been given.
I don't know. I got to just say that my sense is that we have asked people in the group to express their opinions on really all of the questions that were asked by the council. And those opinions can be parsed out of the email and the phone transcripts, you know, and put into a narrative form.
I
don't think that answering a different set of questions is necessarily a good idea, although it certainly we can do that as part of one of the other changes, especially in response to number 10, which is obtain expert opinion on... Well, no, I'm sorry. But anyway, we can certainly find a way to ask, to you know, use this list of questions so that it governs, or not governs, but suggests future work.
Well, you know, again, I think the problem is that this list of questions is, well, I'm gonna let other people respond. Somebody else want to respond to Mike on that one? Hearing nobody else, I'm going to dive in. It's sort of, it partly as your kind of report writer, I have no way to figure out how to get through what is now close to 1,000 emails and do justice to the information that's in there. Does anybody have an approach to that?
I have an idea, Mike. This is Mark. What I think we might want to do is move on to solution ideas, and then when we look at the solution ideas, that might lead us back to some of the definition problems that we've had. And, you know, we may be stuck on definitions when we don't really need to be, you know.
Other thoughts?
Well,
Well, Mike, I've had to do this several times, actually numerous times with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. So I will tell you that I don't envy your job because I've done it before. But ultimately, there's only two ways to do this. One is that, you know, you do flog through the 1,000 emails because that's the role that you took. Or you identify, you know, other authors who are going to take one topic and flog through the 1,000 emails for that one topic. And it's not an easy task.
It's Liz. I feel responsible for offering, even though I don't necessarily feel that I have the means myself. If, you know, this is just a suggestion, if we're stuck, you know, if we push out dates, I can probably get some consulting resource to help do this. So, Mike, I just want to offer that because I feel, you know, responsible for being able to contribute if we can, but we have the same limitation all of you do. So I just want to offer that up. It staff should be in a position optimally to really step in here. I'd be willing to, but recognize it would end up probably being done at least in part by a third party, so there would be a time delay.
Thanks, Liz. I guess the reason that I'm pushing back a little bit on this is because I'm not sure that those questions can be answered until we've done some of the things that in this list of things to do.
I think that's very legitimate to point out, definitely.
So, given that, how do we proceed?
In other words, in response to these questions, we can certainly point out further questions that we have and data that we need to really answer them. But we could also, ideally, just briefly describe the various opinions collected. And maybe the best way to do it now is specifically ask the constituencies to put together statements that respond to these questions. Then we're going to have some text to work with.
Well, that's, I think, what's coming in today, for the most part.
Well, I was not understanding that that's what you were asked, that that's what you were expected to have today.
Well, that was what the template called for. It basically said, dear constituencies, here's a list of questions. If you have any suggestions of answers to any of these questions, please provide them.
Right, well, we just haven't done in the BC what we should have done by now, Frank. And that's my fault as much.
But I think the overall point is right, that also it would be very helpful for the constituencies to try to crystallize information and perspective on these
questions. Yeah, I imagine that Greg's done a very good job of that for the registry. We need to draft text, Mike, that I think the BC list circulated around the BC list. But I understood that was going to be the final constituency. And it is, actually.
Well, I was thinking of this first round as gather the text, gather the ideas, and the second round being the constituency reaction to our proposed answers. For others who've written constituency, the first round statement. How did you proceed?
This is Greg. We circulated drafts amongst ourselves at the registry constituency. We tried to answer the questions, and so we got into some technology discussions about, you know, what registries are able to do and what they can't and so on. The hope there is that provides some meat for a draft. We also expressed some opinions. Figured we might as well do that at this point. You know, bring up issues which are going to need to be discussed. So that's what we did.
Cool. How about others? Now, by that silence, can I take that to mean that there aren't too many other first-round constituency input documents on the way?
So it's Liz. I know, like, in the case of the registrars, they have a somewhat lengthy process in terms of considering these questions, and it would be good to know sort of where in the cycle they are, and with the other constituencies who are on the call as well. It's not unusual. I mean, we threw some heavy questions out, so it'd just be good to know.
Yeah, that is, you know, summertime. It's really hard to get people's attention right now.
Well, and I think part of the reason is that, but I think another reason is that the constituencies may be having the same difficulty answering questions that we are.
Good point.
Yeah, Mike, this is Paul, and
ahead,
weighing
Paul.
In for the registrars. We are still working on ours. We won't have it ready today, but it should be fairly soon. Since this is the first round, this is almost more of the brainstorming or preliminary input stage. The voting rules and the things that kind of take us longer than perhaps some of the others, based on the constituency bylaws, that doesn't come into play at this point. I think for the next round, whenever we are asked to, as a constituency, formally comment on a draft report that would include proposals and whatnot, that's the one that often takes longer. And basically, the timeline works out to about a month from first receipt to at least a month, I should say, to get a response out, because of posting time and then comment period and then a second posting time. It's just kind of Byzantine. In any event, I would say that for at least this first part, we are definitely grappling with what exactly is the problem, what exactly is the mandate, what exactly do you want from us, or what is expected of us, et cetera, those things. So that helps explain some of the current delay.
Other constituencies? Wendy, did you plan on writing something from perspective of the ALAC, for example?
Well, as ALAC is not a constituency, unless people would like an ALAC statement, I was planning to use the sole advantage of not being a constituency.
So were you planning on writing something? Or?
No.
It would be good, though, to try to get a feel for, and I'm not sure, Wendy, how best to do this, or whether it can be done, but kind of in that large sense. I mean, I know they're following, you know, many at least are following this issue, and it would be great to find a way, and I know we have others on the call representing, or, you know, who are participating on behalf of other organizations like Bo and others that also might be able to tap into some thinking there, but you know, given the breadth of this project, if you have any thoughts about that, I'd really welcome them.
I thought it would be easier to go to at-large for comments if I could do that once we had definitions.
Right. It may just be premature, given that, you know, the organization. So just something to think about.
And, you know, again, I think part of the problem, the process problem that we're up against here, is that at least for me, I was quite startled to discover how much difficulty we had simply defining fast flux. And, you know, we may be on to evil bunnies, but when we sent all this stuff out, people, you know, we didn't have that definition. And I would put forward the proposition that we don't really have a definition yet, which is part of the reason why I'm so entranced with this sort of list of tasks or questions to answer in sequence that Dave came up with, is that we may be confusing the issue at this stage by trying to answer some of those very downstream questions, like, you know, what should actually be done, when we don't really know very well what it is that we're doing something about, or how big the problem is, or how it manifests itself, or what its fingerprints are, or, you know, there's just this whole series of almost foundational pieces that seems to me need to be done before we can really answer those questions, and that by answering them at this stage, we're kind of pulling answers out of our hat.
Mike, I don't know that we need to answer those questions. I think maybe we should just try some solutions, and the solutions might actually answer the definition things.
Well, you know, part of the thing it seems to me that Dave laid out is almost a development work plan that says, okay, let's define what it is we're trying to do. Then let's build some algorithms to make sure that, you know, we can find the things that we're trying to identify. Then let's build some code or find some code. Or if we've, you know, Rod mentioned earlier on the call that there's some software in Australia that may embody, it has to embody a definition of fast flux in order to be able to do what it purports to do, which is identify fast flux hosts. Maybe what we need to do is evaluate that software and see if we agree with its definition. I'm not necessarily saying that we have to start absolutely from scratch, but I'm really uncomfortable weighing in on what we ought to do when we don't have these foundational pieces done yet.
I think we should skip some of the foundations or get back to the foundations, because if we get stuck there, we're never going to make progress. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I do understand. These are all good questions.
So how do we get...
What do you then propose to do with all of the work, data, really, information, opinions that have been expressed, that people have spent, you know, untold hours documenting for the benefit of this group?
Well, I don't know, quite frankly. Because it's not really in a forum that's possible to summarize. I mean, you know, you take any one of those spirited debates that we had, what they showed is that there's disagreement, not agreement. And so how do you summarize the disagreement except to say that there was disagreement? I mean, we could certainly do that.
Yeah, document what the two opinions were, or, you know, what the very, all of them, no, many opinions. That's a bare minimum that we should be.
Let's presume that we do that. I don't know exactly how, but, you know, Liz and I can put our heads together on that later. Would we recommend anything different than the list that Dave has published if we did that?
So you're saying that basically your interpretation of the list or your summary of the list boils down to these open questions?
Yeah, at this stage. Because, you know, I think that we just don't have these answers. And I think, for example, if we just took the very first one, the definition. Well, let's leave that one. We've beaten that one half to death. Let's pick one that's a little bit further down the list at random. Identified data collectors. Who can provide the data that we need in order to detect it? Well, we don't even, in that earlier conversation on this call, when we were, you know, when we were talking about the data that's coming in to the work group, we've given the data people a very difficult task in that we've not been able to define what data it is that we want them to collect, because we haven't been able to define precisely what FastLux really means.
I think we've seen lots of different definitions of it. We haven't agreed on one uniform, one definition for everybody, but we've got definitions to work with. So we're talking about bad FastLux.
Right, bad bunnies. Now, let's say that through magic we could get that definition nailed today. I still don't think that the working group, you know, unless we just completely blow away our schedule. Let's presume a crystal clear definition for FastLux. Then the data people are going to have to go out and gather data. It's going to take some time to do that. Without that data, we've got no underpinnings for a lot of the harm-related, you know, issues, that whole conundrum, because we don't know what's going on.
George, here. Can I join the queue?
Sure, go ahead. Let's see. Hang on a minute, George. I haven't been paying attention to the queue. Greg, you've got your hand up. Have you been patiently waiting, or is that leftover from long ago?
That's a leftover. I'll take that, Dad.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, George.
One concern I have about the data is that I don't know if people are familiar with Bayes' theorem. It says I posted on the email list, but it's kind of very subtle. But it talks about false positive rates and how it depends on the rate of something in a population. I posted it in the Evaluate Things Here window if you scroll up. One concern I have about the data is that if we only study the criminal aspect, the sample data that you're working with is biased. For example, if you did a population, if your only data, for example, was on some matter, was the population of people in a certain prison, you never looked at, for example, the non-prison population, then if you only use the data on the prison population, your test might seem very powerful, but then if you apply that test to the broader network of all humans, your test starts to fail.
Right.
For example, if you look at the prison population, you might say, oh, we've got, you know, lots of males, you've got people with two legs, you know, all things with two legs must, you know, must be criminals. But then you didn't look at the total population and see that, you know, there are characteristics there that are, you know, that don't allow you to necessarily determine the difference between what you're trying to test for.
Right. I mean, I'll use sort of a crass summary of where I think we're at. I think that what we've got here is a hammer looking for a nail. And I'm really uncomfortable proposing that hammer until we've got a better understanding of what it is that we're trying to construct. Mark, do you have your hand up?
Yes, I have my hand up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I was thinking on this is, is there a correlation between the FastFlux network and the age of the domain? I would like to see, Are they using, you know, domains that are really new as opposed to old domains?
Hang on a minute, Mark. I think what I want to do is stay pretty focused on the process problem that we've got right now and save the content, if you will, for another part of the discussion.
Okay.
Good question, but, you know, we're sort of at this juncture in what to do next, and I don't necessarily want to dive into the actual definitions of things right now on the call.
Okay, but I think possibly we may be stuck on something that we don't need to be stuck on, because we might not ever come up with a precise definition, but if we come up with solutions that don't scare people, then we might not, or other things might, you know, processes might lead us back to the definition thing that we're working on. I think we could get stuck forever on definitions and never get past that.
Well, you know, you've made that argument before, and again, this gets me to the hammer looking for a nail kind of impression. I really don't want to advance solutions without underpinnings. It just makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Well, okay, so perhaps I think we could agree that fast flex used for bank fraud is bad. Can we all agree on that?
I really don't want to get, I mean, we've got 1,000 emails with variations of this conversation in them. And,
right, some people only want to call fast flex the bad stuff. Like Dave's in that camp, right? That's why I invented a new term. Bunny rabbit networks is good or bad. And evil bunnies would be what some people call fast flux, which will, you know, for now on we can call fast flux just the bad stuff, if everybody agrees on that.
Right.
And there could be good bunnies, which use a very similar technology, use the identical technology, say, as fast flux, but use it in a good way for free speech, you know, something else.
Whatever. Yeah.
So in the context of email, for example, you have email being, you know, a neutral technology term. Spam, you know, illegal spam being equivalent to evil bunnies, being equivalent to what people are calling fast flux.
Right.
Well, I've had my hand up a while. I'm going to jump in if I can.
Oh, I don't see it.
It said I had the mic for like 5 minutes, but I've been waiting, so I'm not certain why.
The mic is when you're doing audio on these calls. Use the raise your hand button, because the mic shows up sometimes just at random. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Dave.
Actually, mine says raise hand. Anyway.
Yeah, very cool.
My frustration here is that for weeks, I've been trying to offer offer definitions, and we've gotten very close to definitions that allow us to call X and Y as two distinct things. We keep getting pulled back to using the term fast flux for both. And I would be very happy if we simply didn't utter the word fast flux for about a week and just try to identify the characteristics that we're, you know, that will help us ferret out a network that is doing criminal or malicious activity from one that is doing good. I also believe that it's possible for us, if we really want to get data that illustrate what a legitimate application of short TTLs and a legitimate application of volatile networking for the sake of high availability and resiliency is possible. If people believe that Akamai is a model for that kind of network, I honestly believe we could get that kind of data. I honestly believe that we can characterize these two, you know, very distinctly without jeopardizing or sacrificing, you know, the what we tend to call legitimate uses of, you know, these characteristics, some of these characteristics, from the non-legitimate uses. But everyone keeps falling back and trying to defend their own perspective about, you know, about what is good and what is bad, and don't let throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we're not going to get anywhere as long as people choose to just use the same nomenclature and believe that their particular need is at risk each time we talk about this. And that's all I'm going to say today.
Oh, I hate it when people do that. Oh, well. I think that's a really good point. I think that gets back to the need for a great definition of something. A great, you know, this, it seems to me that this has got to be built up on I'm stuck trying to figure out how to build that foundation. Again, that's why I'm so attracted to this list of things to do, rather than the very broad series of questions that I just don't think we can answer those right now. But, you know, I'm repeating myself, too. Other people got ideas? I'm looking at the queue. Dave, you've still got your hand up, I'm presuming. At least for the moment, you're done. Anybody else want to try and get us off top dead center here? My inclination as chair is to, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I need some help, people. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
I think that we need to go back and grab at least the definitions that that Randy, I, Joe, and Mark built over time, and Greg, and put that up as the definitive, you know, bad thing, the thing we want to stop. And I think that it's incumbent upon the people who claim that there are good things to come up with an equally, you know, useful list of good characteristics. I tried to start that off today with an email that identifies some of those characteristics. And I think we'll go nowhere until we have a very clear separation of, you know, of, you know, the characteristics that distinguish one from the other. Once we have those clear characteristics, I honestly believe that the kind of work that Joe's put up and discussed in terms of illustrating that you can identify the bad thing and distinguish it very clearly with very low false positives is provable. But if we doggedly try to say, but there are false positives, but there are false positives, with no real way of distinguishing the two, we're not going to go anywhere. So, yeah, at some point, people do have to make a concession that they're not putting something on the table to corroborate their point, not say, well, we're only looking at the bad things. The fact of the matter is that the people who have been looking at the bad things have a lot of data, and the people who have not been looking at the bad things and claim that there are good things, you know, have not put data on the table. I'm not saying it's not there, it's just that if that's where you are committed and you believe in it, then you ought to be coming up with the data.
So, you know, this would argue in favor of the first, you know, I think it's perfectly fine for us to say, look, here's a big long list of things that need them. We found that the very first thing on the list can prove our definition of fast flux is taking us much longer than we thought. We're happy to continue in that effort, but to answer some of the questions somewhat further down the list in our charter is very difficult without these underpinnings. Are people, let's do a little poll on, I've just got an agree-disagree poll out there. Can we agree to that, or are there people, well, let me frame this very clearly. Yes or no question. Can we step back from answering the whole series of questions at this stage, or not? Yes or no?
Sorry, what do you mean by step back?
I guess what I'm saying is, I am personally very uncomfortable trying to come up with answers to that series of questions in this work group, given where we're at today. And so I would prefer to say that list of questions can be answered, and here's a process by which they could be answered, and have that be our recommendation.
Do we have to answer the questions in order?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we can, actually.
You need to realize that some of these questions are really loaded with normative issues, too.
I concur with that. I really think that it may be useful to suggest more useful questions rather than to proceed with the questions we have.
How many false positives are we willing to manage? That's not a decision for this group to make, ultimately.
Oh, no. Hang on a minute. I'm sorry. The questions that I'm talking about are the questions in our charter, not the questions that are in front of you today.
No, I know, but these are the substitute questions that you want us to direct our attention to.
No, this is essentially a work plan for us, and let me phrase it this way. I think that what you see in front of you is a first draft that has not been hammered on in any way to get the consensus. So I'm perfectly willing to accept edits to these questions, and I'm sure Dave is too. What I'm saying at this stage is that the charter is flawed, in that the questions in the charter, while they can be answered, can't be answered unless you follow some sort of process that looks something like the one that's being proposed in this second set of questions. Call it questions two for sake of clarity in this discussion. Mark, unless I'll call on you, but not if you're going to hit me again with let's look at solutions first. Go ahead.
I was just going to agree that the charter is flawed. And if the charter is flawed, what do we do then?
Well, I think that, you know, what I was beginning to type was to rewrite the charter for the working group. As the very first thing to do. And that in the process of doing that, we could suggest, I'm not sure I can do that, I can't, but in a charter for a project, often you'll find a good statement of what's the problem we're trying to solve and how should we try and solve that problem. It seems to me that the list in Rev 0.1 form right now, but the questions 2 list is a pretty good start at a work plan on how to solve that problem. But I think the problem needs to be, the charter needs to be rewritten. Because I think the way it's cast today, it's impossible to answer those questions given what we know at this point.
Mike, it's Liz. I think that if it comes to that again, I think some articulate description of why that's the case and what might be the alternative, you know, we still need this group's expertise to move on from that rather than just using that as a net result. In other words, then, you know, we got to rewrite it and move on, I think. We have the latitude here to do the right thing and not be constrained by what the council thought without the benefit of your expertise. In other words, they put something out there in order to solicit the benefit of this team's expertise. I do not want to lose the fact that you all have brought this insight based on, you know, if it ends up being here's the data points we have to have, you know, crafted in a way that is articulate and lays out some realistic next steps, this group has the latitude to move forward the way it sees best and to come back to the council even with an interim report that crystallizes that, and I'd be glad to help. So I just don't want this group to be too constrained by specifically what it was told to do by a group of wonderful, well-intentioned people who were hoping you guys would help them figure it out.
I agree with that very much.
I agree,
Mike,
too.
just to get back to you, Michael, because, Mike, you're the one that was pushing pretty hard earlier in the call that we had to answer those questions.
I think we can answer the questions. I have a difference of opinion, in, I think, in how we could answer those questions now. We may not be able to reach consensus answers to those questions, but we're in the time allotted, but we could outline the opinions that have been expressed so far and let the council decide what to do next. It's also fine to say that look at those questions. We've taken a lot of opinion and analysis, and we are going to make an effort to synthesize that, but we want to step back and look at this other set of questions, which we think will help us reach consensus on the broader set of questions. I think the council would accept that.
How do, in our little poll, how do people feel about an approach like that, where we do, we give our best shot? Because I can, you know, I can do a summary. I'm just very uncomfortable treating it as the end all and be all.
Absolutely, I hope we all are. Until we haven't even really made a good effort at synthesizing the opinions and coming to consensus.
Yeah, and I would like some help on how to do that. Eric, go ahead. You haven't spoken today. Oh, maybe you weren't raising your hand. Eric? Hang on, Mark. I just want to make sure that I saw Eric's name pop up on the screen, but I'm not hearing him.
And Mike, it's Liz. I want to ask you.
Okay.
Hi, sorry about the delay. I had to unmute and then finding my the appropriate panel. I was supposed to do Adobe, which is why it showed me it's coming up. Naturally, I disagree with the council liaison who wants us to continue with the charter as stated, and I've much more sympathetic to the position Liz articulated just a few moments ago, and that she articulated on, I think, the first call where we grappled with the difficulty of the problem statement that we had, and that we've since worked on the definition.
Thanks.
So, Mark, or Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a proposed way forward.
Cool, go for it.
What I propose is that we break down into two groups. One group defines what we believe to be the evil case and develops characteristics and indicators of, you know, of networks that we would feel, we would have a very high confidence are being used for evil purposes. The other group develops a similar set of indicators that would provide, if run under test, a very high confidence of that we would be able to see them as benign and or good or whatever we want to call them. Okay. So now we'll have the two definitions. We can look at them very carefully, make certain that there's no overlap, or as much as possible that there's no overlap, and then we can try to see if there is some way to actually develop an automation to do detection that results in low false positives for each. And I'm more than happy to continue working to try to develop a definition of the negative use of fast flux. If somebody will step up and try to develop a definition of the positive use, and I started that today, and I really do think that if we can't draw a distinction between the two, then we have very little hope of ever being able to do some automation. But I do believe that they're very easy to characterize and segregate.
Agreed.
Eric?
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't think I buzzed or beeped.
Who's this?
This is Eric. I don't know if you...
No, I
used my name in vain.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm getting a little overloaded on watching too many screens. George, go ahead.
I'm not sure that necessarily is a good thing, because let's say, for example, you want to do a test to determine bad cars on the road or something like that, or you want to get rid of all, say, trucks, say. Those aren't necessarily going to be, well, you want to necessarily have a definition for what all automobiles are, too. Like, you might have, well, say a good use might be cars, a bad use might be, say, trucks, but then that's a subset of all automobiles. You still might have, you know, SUVs that are somewhere in between that you never looked at. That, in other words, you can have two non-overlapping sets that aren't the entire population. In a racial context, for example, you might have a test that determines, you know, whites and then blacks, but then something comes along totally different, you know, a native person, an Asian, that you never even thought about, which doesn't overlap with either of those, but it's still the population of all people.
So here's where I'm at. I'm liking the conversation that says, let's get our definition in order. I think I would push back a little bit on Dave's structuring, but not the desire to get to a good definition. And so what I'm hearing is support for the notion that we've got to get the definition hammered out, and that if we can get that definition hammered out amongst ourselves in this working group, that may be as far as we can get, and we may not even be able to get that far. If we can't get a definition, it seems to me almost irresponsible to make recommendations beyond that, because we're building castles on sand. So can I take it as agreed, not that we there's no way, especially given the fact that we're only 10 minutes from the end of the call, there's no way that we can arrive at a definition today. But can we sort of boil together Liz's point, which is it's perfectly within our purview to go back to the council and say to them, look, you framed the problem for us wrong. We want to reframe it.
Agreed.
As we need to, and offer them a list of things that we want to do, not unlike the list that's in front of you, the list two, and then have at a very robust discussion about this definition thing. Do a poll on that. Go ahead and click on whether I'm on the right track here or not. Oh, Eric, in the notes box in the lower right corner, if you scroll down to the section that's called Available Options, the series of steps/questions that Dave started and I've edited a little bit appears there. That's not been reviewed by this group at all. It's a start. And we'd have to build consensus around that. But that's what I'm talking about, is that essentially we need to go back to the council and say, look, there are a lot of things we agree on. One of the things we agree on is that we need a really robust definition of what the problem is. Another thing we need to agree on is how to identify these things. Another, which the contribution that I think George made, which I think is a good one, is a conversation about where those choke points might be to stop the thing, but we can't start that conversation until we have a different definition of what it is that we want to try and stop. And to leap ahead without that underpinning makes me nervous, really nervous. I'm gonna roll with that. unless somebody hits me upside the head. Mike, are you going to hit me upside the head if I do something like that? I'm taking that as either, nah, I won't hit you upside the head, or he's not on the call anymore.
Sorry, I'm on the call, and I was on mute, and I was talking to myself for a moment.
Ah, sorry. It was probably very eloquent. Sorry,
no one will ever know.
No one will know.
So what I think I was trying to say was that, you know, I'm okay with the approach, Mike, but we do need to make the effort to answer the question at some point. I consider this a step in that effort.
Oh, I think in some infinite amount of time, maybe a year, certainly those questions could be answered as the result of a process like the one that Dave has laid out here and that I've edited and that we could beat on really hard. But I don't think we can answer those questions in the 90-day window of this working group. And I think we need to give the GNSO a heads up about that and then give them a positive proposal as to what we would like to do. And
definitely
maybe
agree.
Even estimate on time frames is the one that might happen.
Noting that yesterday I told the council that we were well on track.
Well, did you ask your chair before you told them that?
I saw your status update today. It makes it look like we're all on track.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was lying. You fucked up. You trusted me. Sorry.
I mean, I
do feel that if you scroll around in this little report that's down in the lower right corner, I think we could issue a report like that. Essentially, I don't think that this report can answer those questions. This report is essentially answering a slightly different question, which is
what I would suggest we do the next week or 10 days then is come up with a brief narrative as to why we think we can't answer council's questions without answering these other questions first.
I can do that.
I can get it on the agenda for our September 4th meeting and likely get it ratified.
That'd be good. Well, I think that what that would be, in my consulting days, I used to call this the big whoa conversation, where we would go into the client and say, whoa, wait a minute.
Yep.
We need to have a stop, take a deep breath, recast problem conversation. We're happy to continue, but the path that we're on right now is going to lead to an unsatisfactory result, and I'm happy to do a first draft of that.
Yep, I think it's something that, you know, everyone should have a chance to comment on. And
yeah, for sure. And we could either shoot for finishing it up on the list, or we could finish it up at the meeting next week. We'll see how it goes on the list. But I'll take a crack at a first draft on that.
Along like what Liz was saying, you know, the most important thing is that we people in the group that have been active, engaged, and we use the material that we've got so far. So.
Oh well, you know, I think that the conclusion that we're presenting rests on pretty solid foundation. I just don't think that we've got it done yet. We're 2 minutes from the end of the call, people. I'm going to take that and say that this is probably the last chance to comment on this proposed direction. Let me restate it. I'll go through and write up. I'm not even going to restate it. I'm going to listen to the MP3 stuff because I think we've already described it pretty well. Are there folks who want to weigh in on the other side at this point? If not,
I just want to disagree with the idea that we should stop everything else until this is done. So the order part of it, you know, and let us proceed asynchronously, I'm for it.
I'm not in at all opposed to carrying on with other efforts especially aimed at solutions. I thought Joe's little gizmo was... Joe's gizmo actually triggered a lot of questions in my mind. So I'm happy to let that continue, but off list, quite frankly, I am bewildered by the 1,000 emails in my inbox and can't handle any more on that. So if folks want to continue working on solution designs or conversations like that, that's fine, but, you know, recruit amongst yourselves and then carry the conversation off list. Other thoughts? I'm not even going to take the mandatory, how's Mikey doing? I don't want to know. I'll pick that up next week. I appreciate, by the way, all of the very helpful off-list replies to my what I'm calling my sad note earlier this week. It helped a lot. That's it, folks. It's 11:30, and I'm going to declare it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.